Just like we learned yesterday, the Rebbe's beautiful, beautiful, and powerful, and tragic words on the occasion of his son's first yahrzeit. So this is the year Tafshin Beis, 1941, going into 1942. And again, on the second day of Sukkot, this is the yahrzeit of his son, once again, Rebbe Elimelech ben Sion, Hashem avenge his blood. Okay, and the Rebbe is going to talk to us about the innovations of Avram Avinu. So let's see. Melech Amar. Everyone see? David Melech Amar. David Melech said. And again, he quotes this because, as he mentioned yesterday, this is the pasuk that is connected to his son Elimelech's name. It's with an aleph and it ends with a chaf sofid. David Melech said in Kapitel Tazayin, Amart laHashem, Hashem ata, tovasi bal alecha. Tovasi bal alecha means that my goodness is not incumbent upon you. So the Gemara actually has an interesting discussion. The Isa al Zeb Gemara Menachos, the Gemara Menachos Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph says, Amra Knesses Yisrael Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people turn to Hashem, and they say, Ribono Shel Olam, the Master of the World, Hachzeik Li Tova Shehodaticha Ba'Olam. Klal Yisrael turns to Hashem, and they say, Listen, Hashem, do us a toiva, do us a favor, take care of us, be kind to us, because after all, Hodaticha Ba'olam, we made you known in the world. Right? The Jewish people, the collective soul of the Jewish people say, we're the ones who are responsible for introducing the world to you. Amar La, so Hashem says to her, her being again the soul of Israel, Knesset Yisrael, the essence of Klal Yisrael, Hashem says to the Jewish people, not exactly. Tovasi Baal Alecha. My goodness is not... Tovasi Baal Alecha. My goodness is not incumbent upon you. Again, my success is not dependent upon you. In other words, Hashem says back to Klal Yisrael, Ein ani machzik tova, elo la'avram Yitzchak v'Yakov, shehodiuni ba'olam tchila. It's nice that you today still talk about Hashem, and maybe you're introducing other people to Hashem, but realize you're not like the innovator. You're not the one who created this idea, you know? You're not the one who came up with the God movement. Hashem says, I don't owe you so much Hakar Satov because Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were the originators. Okay, they were the ones who brought me to the world Tchila, originally. They brought me to the world. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, in that same parak of Tehillim, the next Pasuk, L'kadoshim asher ba'aretz hema. A reference to those who came before. They were the ones who introduced Hashem to the world. So explains the Rebbe, let's talk about Avram Avinu in particular. Because if Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did it, I guess Avram chronologically did it first. So let's talk about Avram's bringing Hashem to the world. Avram's innovation of announcing Hashem to the world. Ki Isa b'Gemara, the Gemara tells us in Brachos on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Miyom shebara kadosh baruch hu es olamo lo haya adam shekara la kadosh baruch hu adon. Ad sheba Avram Avinu v'karo adon. From the time of creation, there was no one who acknowledged, who called Hashem the Adon Olam, the master of the world, Adon. There was no one who called Hashem Adon until Avram Avinu came along and called Hashem by the name Adon. Shenemar vayomer Adonai, bama ida ki irashena. When Avram, by the Brisbane of Besarim, is being introduced sort of to the bigger picture of Jewish history, he calls Hashem by the name Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. So Avram Avinu was the first one to call Hashem Adon. Chaver, is that true? Is Avram the first one when Avram says Vayomer, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud? Is he the first one to say that? Says the Rebbe, Vitzarech Lahavin, we need to understand. There's a very famous Medrash. We're familiar with this Medrash. It says in Bereishis Rabba, that's what this abbreviation is, Parsha Yud Zayin, it says in Bereishis Rabba, the Medrash Rabba on Bereishis, She'odam HaRishon Kishakara Shemos L'chol Behema V'chaya, when Odam HaRishon was naming all of the creatures, Sha'al Oso HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem asked him, Va'ani Ma'ashemi, Hashem said, Odam, what do you think my name should be? So Odam responds, Amar Lo, Odam said to Hashem, Lecho Na Likaros Adonai, you should be called Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. Why? Sha'ata Adon L'chol B'ril Secha. Because you are the master, you are the creator of all of the creations. Gevaldik. Amar Rabbi Acha, Ani Hashem Hushemi, Hushemi Shakarli Adam Arishon. So the Medrash says very clearly that Adam Arishon actually recognized Hashem as the Adon Olam. And therefore the question is, Im Kain, Kodam Adam Harishon, Likroas Hashem Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, Kodam Shakara Avram Avinu. Before Avram Avinu called Hashem Aleph Dalid Nun and Yud, before Avram Avinu called Hashem the Adon Olam, Adam Harishon called Hashem the Adon. So why is it, going back to our Gemara now in Menachos that we started with, when Bnei Yisrael say, when Knesset Yisrael says, Hashem, we taught you to the world, and Hashem's like, not exactly, the Avos did. And then the Gemara in Brachos told us that Avram Avinu was the first one to call Hashem Adon. But says the Rebbe, not according to the Medrash, that's not true. According to the Midrashic tradition, Adam HaRishon was the first one to acknowledge Hashem as the Adon Olam when he was giving out names to all of creation. Okay, so that's the question. In other words, to say the question really the way the Rebbe is really asking it is, what was the chiddush of Adam HaRishon, what was the chiddush of Avram Avinu calling Hashem Adon? In what way was that a chiddush? Because Adam HaRishon already did it. So when Avraham did it, he must have done it in a unique way. And the question is, what was the chiddush of Avram Avinu? Yes, Gedalia Aaron.
But it says a different word. It says Likro. Is that any significance for this?
You're saying, is it calling Hashem by that name versus bringing others to call Hashem by the name? Is that what you're...
Yeah, Bayomer and Likro.
Okay, so it could be. It could be there was a difference in terms of, again, it's one thing for Adam to call Hashem, right, the Adon. Maybe Avram Avinu taught the world that Hashem is the Adon, right? Maybe there's a difference between that Vayomer and that Kriya, or maybe the Kriya of oneself versus bringing others to call to Hashem by that name. Maybe it's that education that Avram Avinu did by teaching others, right? Through his generosity, his open tent, where he would serve delicious meals and preach in the name of the Lord, right? So maybe that's the Chiddush of Avram Avinu. Could be. Yeah, that could be. Yeah, Jonathan Berger.
Is there a difference between like Adam saying like you should, like when God asked him like what should I be called, and then he says you should be called Master Adon, like is there a difference between that and then having, because like that seems a little more casual than an actually like a one-on-one conversation with God saying Adon, like more formal and like it's more like committing to it instead.
So you're
of,
saying
like,
when Hashem, you're saying there's a difference
casual,
between. Yeah, go on.
Instead of like a casual, just like, yeah, like this is what you'll be called, like you should be called this. Like, instead of like someone proactively saying,
Right, so you're saying that the Adam HaRishon was sort of responding, he was taking a test with Hashem, right? What should I call this? Let's call it Sus, let's call it horse. What should I call this? Let's call it Chamor. What should I call this? Let's call it Shor, let's call it an ox. What should I be called? You should be called Adon. That's different than you're saying Avram Avinu actually interacting with Hashem by that name, right? Calling Hashem
exactly.
In real life conversation, acknowledging Hashem as Adon, right? Not just, being able to answer the question correctly on the Bechina. Okay? Also, a nice insight. That's a good vart. It's a good way to maybe highlight the distinction between Adam and Avram. Okay, but let's go a step further. And obviously we know, now that we've gotten more familiar with the Rebbe, and again, bearing in mind that this is the third year of his teachings, right? This is Tafshin Beis. So obviously, again, the war has dragged on. The loss is more significant. He's now commemorating another yard site for his son. Okay, so listen to what the Rebbe says. V'afshar ki ba'oso inyan shakara Avram Avinu Hashem Aleph Dalid Nun and Yud. When Avram calls Hashem by this name, Nemer lo hagolus shigalu banov. Avram calls Hashem this name in the context of what? Of Golus. Again, when does Avram say Vayomer Adonai? When does he say that? Avram says that at the Bris Bein HaBasarim. The Bris Bein HaBasarim, of course, is Hashem's promise to Avram in terms of providing for him. But it's also Hashem introducing to Avram the painful reality of what? There's going to be a very, very long and harsh and painful exile. Kemoshen Emor, as the Pasuk says, Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo. It was as the sun set, V'tardema Naflal Avram, and a deep slumber fell over Avram Avinu, V'hinei Eima Chashecha Gedola Nofeles Alav. And Avram experiences again this very frightening image, And the Medrash says that each of those phrases, Eima, Chashecha, Gedola, Nofeles, refers to the four different exiles. Vayomer la'avram yadoa teida ki ger yezaracha ba'eretz lo lahem. Right? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu introducing Avram Avinu to Jewish suffering. And it's dafka in the context of these psukim, of the Jewish people for slaves for 400 years. Ve'inu osam arba me'o shana. It's dafka in that context where the Gemara tells us that Avram Avinu says, Vayomer Adonai Elohim Bama Eida Ki Rashana. It's dafka there. The Gemara in the Dharam tells us that Avram wonders, how do I know that things are going to work out for the better in the end? And Avram got himself into trouble for asking that question, for having the chutzpah to even raise that question. Right? And he was Nenash Begal Izbanov. He was punished that his children were exiled because he challenged Hashem and questioned Hashem. But what's remarkable, again, about the context of these psukim is that Avram is still calling Hashem the Adon Olam in acknowledging horrific suffering. And that's very courageous. Meaning it's one thing to believe that God runs the world when everything's working out great, and you got the job, and you got the shidduch, and you're chopping shir, right? And your investments are rising, and everything's going great, you know? And you're getting along with your family members, and just everything is falling into place. Like, wow, Adon Olam, Master of the World. Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem, everything's great. It's another thing when Hashem is introducing you to 400 years of suffering, and you have some questions, because Avram was asking questions, again, whatever exactly he was asking, which the Rebbe is acknowledging. The Gemara was not happy with Avram Avinu. The Gemara says Hashem wasn't happy with Avram for asking, for challenging him, for saying, Bama Eida Ki Rashana. How do I know I'm going to be zochet to come to Eretz Yisrael? But the bottom line is that even in the face of suffering, Avram Avinu has not lost sight of the fact that Hashem is the master of the world. And again, I love the way the Rebbe, part of what I think he's always saying to us, and he's being mechazek these Jews, is that the Nazis are not in charge. It doesn't matter how much it looks like they control our lives. They don't control our lives. They don't run our lives. I spoke the first night of Rosh Hashanah about a yid named Rav Matl Pogromansky. Did I tell you this part from Rav Matl Pogromansky? Let me just tell you, he was a Jew who suffered a lot during the war. He was an amazing story, just his own personal journey to Torah. He was a genius, super genius. Rav Elia Lopian really plucked him up and saved him and got him in the yeshiva. And he was a super duper genius. He was also a person of unbelievable emunah. Unbelievable, rock solid emunah. He said at one point when he was in the ghettos, he said to people who were, you know, like trying to assess the state of affairs, he said, "I don't see Germans, I don't see partisans." He says, "I don't see it the way any of you people see it. All I see are Hashem, the Ad Hashem, and Psukim in the Torah." I mean, he saw the tochacha of you know, of Parshas Kisavo, of Bechukosai, unfolding before his eyes. He said, "I don't see Germans, I see Psukim. I don't see partisans, I see the Yad Hashem." That's all he says, that's all I see. That was all that he saw in everything that was around him. So he has such an awesome Vart. Listen to this Vart. The Gemara says in several places, on the Pasuk that we read it on Rosh Hashanah, it's the Haftorah, in the Song of Chana. Ein tzur kelokeinu. Remember that phrase? Ein, there's no rock like our God. Ein tzur, there's no you know, steadfast source of protection. Ein tzur, there's no rock like Hashem. Anyone remember what the Gemara says? It's a Gemara in Megillah. It's a Gemara also in Brachos, I believe. The Gemara says, Ein tzur kelokeinu, ein tzayar kelokeinu. What's a tzayar? What's a tzayar? An artist. There's no artist like Hashem. And the Gemara explains in Maseches Megillah, why is Hashem such an amazing artist? Because if you draw a painting, a portrait, right, and it looks, you know, it looks exactly like Jared Stern, let's say I draw a painting of Jared Stern, right? So it looks like, but it's not alive. Even if it's a very good, you know, picture, it's not alive. But Hashem is such a good artist that Hashem can what? Hashem can create, you know, can sculpt things, right? If I make a sculpture of a person, so again, it's not life. It may look very nice, but it's not alive. Hashem is such a good artist that what? That Hashem can mold us and put life inside of us. And Hashem could even draw a picture inside of a picture, the Gemara says. A pregnant woman is such a wondrous thing. A living being inside of another living being. Right? We can't even bring one thing to life in this world. Hashem is such an amazing artist. He makes a living creature inside of a living creature. But Rav Mordechai, Rav Matal Pagramansky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha, said an amazing thing. He said, how do you assess an artist? How do you know who's a good artist? Anyone here a good artist? Any good artists in the group? How do you assess a good artist? A good artist, again, if I'm drawing a picture of a flower, so the more realistic the flower looks, the better I am at being an artist. Right? When my six-year-old son, Yaakov, draws a picture of a bird and says, Daddy, what is this? And I say, it's a bird. And he smiles like, wow, right? You can see it's a bird. But okay, I can make out it has wings, kind of looks like a bird. It's not really proportional. It doesn't capture all of the details of the bird. My son draws a picture of a tree. I can tell it's a tree, but it's a little child. It's a six-year-old sketch of a tree. An artist who's an expert artist can draw a picture of a bird and it looks mamish alive. Right? Can draw a picture of a flower and it looks so real. You can almost like pick it up off the canvas. So said Rav Matal Pagramansky, Hashem is the greatest artist. You know why? Because if you look at our lives, if we look at our own lives, listen to this vart, chavra. This is such a good vart. If you look at your own life, it looks so real. It looks so real, right? I can feel, wow, I'm like this is, what do you mean? This is not a work of art. This is real. This is life. No, it's not. Ein tzayar kelokeinu. Hashem is such a good artist that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is drawing reality. He's drawing the whole world, including our very lives, but it's all just part of the brushstroke of the Creator. It's not actually anything other than a painting that Hashem is making. We're all just part of what? Of this beautiful artwork that Hashem is designing. And we have to remember that. At times when we start to think that koichi va'otzem yadi, that I'm in charge of my own life, I'm in charge of my own reality, realize that you're not. That's the emunah that a Jew has to live with. Ein tzayar kelokeinu. Hashem can make a world that looks so real. The chevra that are busy right now buying and selling on Wall Street, you know? It looks so real. They have all these ideas and it's all just a big picture. It's all just a very lifelike painting. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely in charge. It's such an important vart to live with. As a person goes through life and we make choices, which we should, Hashem gave us bechira. Hashem gave us the koach to harishus nesuna, in the words of Chazal, in the words of the Rambam, in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, and whether things are going well or things are falling apart, that's the Chiddush of Avram Avinu, that's what the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe is teaching us, Adon Olam. Hashem remains the master of the world at all times. I'll tell you another vart that I saw last year in the machzor of Rav Druk Shlita. Rav Yisrael Meir Druk in his machzor, Eish Tamid, says an amazing vart. Why do we say Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Vad? What kind of order is that? Think about it for a second. No, Rav Avram. No, Rav Avi, what do you say? Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. What kind of order is that? Hashem Melech, Hashem is the king, present. Hashem Malach in the past. Hashem Yimloch in the future. Why do we start with Hashem Melech? Why don't I do it in some type of order? I should do it in order. Hashem Malach, Hashem was king in the past. Hashem Melech now, and Hashem Yimloch in the future. So he gives several answers, but one answer he says so sharp. It's such a sharp answer, and it's such a simple answer. He says, because the first thing a Jew needs to do is scream out Hashem Melech, right here and right now. It doesn't matter what the world that you're living in looks like. The first thing a Jew has to do, we could talk about the God of the past, we could talk about what Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to look like in the future, but a Jew has to wake up in the morning and scream out, right, Hashem Melech, right now. Right now. I don't have to check the news and see how things are going to find out that Hashem Melech. I know that Meirosh, the starting point of my existence, is Hashem Melech right now. And again, that's what the Rebbe is saying. That's the Chiddush of Avram Avinu. Says the Rebbe, let's read inside. V'zeh Shehosef. Where are we on the page? In our page, we're on Kuf Tzadi Hei, two lines from the bottom. Where are we on the screen? This other edition is hard. Here, v'zeh shehosef. V'zeh shehosef Avram Avinu al Adam HaRishon. This is what Avram Avinu added to what Adam HaRishon had already taught. Ki Adam HaRishon Amar, Adam Rishon was revealed to the world. Shena likro es Hashem Aleph Dalid Nun Yud Bizman Shenikra Lakol Shu Yisbarach Adon Lakol. At a time that Hashem is setting up Gan Eden and it's clear that Hashem is in charge, Adam says, "Yeah, you're the Adon Olam." Okay, Shkoyach. At a time when Hashem is clearly in the world, it's easy to say Adon Olam. Kamosha Amar Lachona Likaros Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Right? For you, it's not. It's fitting. It's beautiful. It's pleasant to call by the name Adon. Sha'ata Adon lechol b'yosecha. It's easy. It makes a lot of sense to call Hashem the Adon at that time. B'chever underline. Va'avram Avinu Hosef shegam bizman ha'golus v'ha'chashecha v'atzaros. But what sets a Jew apart? Avram Avinu is the first Yid. What sets a Jew apart is the courage, the ability, and the amunah that in a time of difficulty to say, this is also the Ad Hashem. Hu Yisbarach Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, that Hashem is the master of it all. If Hashemo Yisbarach Aleph Dalid Nun Yud Yikare, and Hashem is called by that name even in those moments. V'lo bilvad shegam oz yikro Yisrael Hashemo Yisbarach. And as the Rebbe always does, he says, it's not that Hashem is also called the master of the world in those moments. But like we learned the other day, remember he told us the Gemara in Brachos, about Rabbi Yossi went into a churva, and Dafka in the churva he heard the bas kol. Sometimes Dafka in the more difficult places you see Hashem that much more clearly. So it's not that Hashem is also called the master, that even when the world is being run by Hitler Yamach Shemo, Hashem is still the master of the world. No, that's a backwards way to say it. It's not that Hashem is also called in that situation. V'yudvukim v'achuzim bo yisbarach. No, that's not it. Ragam avoda la'atzmei. It's not just, this is still called Hashem running the show. No. Don't say it in a bidyavid way. It's a real avoda. It's a real Kabbalist ol malchus shemayim, says the Rebbe. Va'ad nuso yizbarach. Shebizman ha'izgalus va'atova einam izgala kol kach. It's a revelation of Hashem that is not even true in a time where things are good. It's a way of meeting Hashem even in a greater way at a time of churban, at a time of hester panim, to be able to see Hashem, right? When no one else can see. Again, when Hashem is open in the world, everyone can see Hashem. That doesn't set the Klal Yisrael apart. It's after 2,000 years of Galus without a Beis HaMikdash to say, I see Hashem peering at me through the lattice work. I can see Hashem is winking at me from behind that wall. That's Emunah. And that's the Chiddush of Avram Avinu. That's what Avram Avinu brought to the world. Okay? Rabbim heim darchei avoda viskalis malchusu yizbarach. Says the Rebbe, there are many, many ways for a Jew to reveal Hashem in the world, to interact with Hashem. Yeshna hiskalus malchuso shehi dafka be'is hazgalus v'tov liYisrael. One way to meet up with Hashem is at a time of what? Of goodness, of sweetness, where everything is working out. V'yeshna, but there's also an interaction with Hashem. She bezmana hester v'hagalus dafka. There's a way to encounter Hashem. How interesting is it that the word, what? Hisgalus, which means to reveal and uncover, is so similar to the word galus, right? There's a giloy that comes about through a galus, right? To be megaleh means to uncover, to reveal. Galus usually means a time of destruction, which usually we associate with Hashem hiding from us. But there's a revelation of godliness that dafka comes from a place of concealment. Shekulam roim eich b'nei Yisrael sov them kol kach tzaros l'man shemo, because when the world sees how much the Jewish people are willing to suffer l'man shemo yizbarach on behalf of a Kodesh Baruch whose name u'mekabel malayim o malchusu b'mesiras nafsho, and when you see that we're mekabel Hashem even in such a time, what greater proof of God is there that the Jewish people believe not only when things are going well, but the Jewish people believe in Hashem at all times. That's the biggest chiddush of all. Now he quotes here from the Arizal something very Kabbalistic. Okay? And since I'm being mindful of the clock, what time is it? 10:03. Okay, we're just gonna skip ahead a couple of lines. But he talks about this lower arousal that allows the feminine energy to rise up, which gives a great nachas ruach to Hashem. Okay? But let's jump ahead just a couple of lines to the next paragraph. V'hagam shesham isa, rak b'ptirasim b'siras nefesh b'pol mamish. The Arizal says that when a Jew dies al kiddush Hashem, it gives unbelievable nachas ruach to Hashem. It's a very holy thing. because it proves that I believe in Hashem even in the most trying moments. Mikol makom, says the Rebbe, but it's not only dying. And now the Rebbe is speaking to us. He's mamish speaking to us. Because I give us a bracha, no one should ever have to die al Kiddush Hashem. But we could also live al Kiddush Hashem. And we can make personal sacrifices in our lives, which is also a form of Mesiras Nefesh. Mikol makom pashut shecheinu b'chol ha'yisurim shesovlim liYisrael. Any difficulty that a Jew suffers in this world, v'nechzer chalakim mikolcham, and a Jew gives a chelek of his energy to Hashem. We're all about to fast on what? On Yom Kippurim. We fasted on Tzom Gedalia. What happens when a person fasts? The Gemara tells us, ki gam b'tanis isa b'gemara, shemiyut chelvo v'damo, shal yidei ha'tanis nechshav k'karbon. When a Jew fasts, and he gives up some of his fat and his blood, and he feels physically diminished on a fast day, he gives his energy, what, to Hashem, that's like a karbon. That's a form of bringing a karbon to Hashem. Says the Rebbe, kol shekein, miyot chelbam, vidamam, kocham, umocham. All the more so, when I don't just not eat for a day, but I give my energy to Hashem, and I give my mind to Hashem. I'm willing to what? I'm willing to surrender my way of seeing things, to try to see things the way Hashem sees things. To remind myself, like Ramatul Pogromansky said, I'm just part of the greatest artists, you know, the greatest work of art. And I surrender myself to Hashem. Shal yideha yisurim hamarim harbe yosur mitanis. When a Jew goes through difficulty, for anyone who's ever been in a state of pain, that hurts more than a tanis. How much did you suffer on Tzom Gedalia? You were hungry? You had a headache? How much do you suffer on Yom Kippur? You're a little tired? Your feet start to hurt a little bit? I'm sure every one of us can probably point to a moment in our life where we felt greater pain than we felt on Tzom Gedalia. An emotional pain, a physical pain. If you broke your arm in fourth grade, you were probably in more pain on the baseball field than you are on Tzom Gedalia. Right? So you're going to tell me what, Tzom Gedalia counts because I'm fasting, but when I broke my arm, that doesn't count. When a Jew suffers in this world, it counts for something. Spilt blood, the emotional suffering, the mental anguish of a Jew, is not discarded by Hashem. Shehi b'chinas karban. It's a form of karban. It's an offering to Hashem. Shema'ala michal la'Hashem. That the malach michal, he offers up that suffering to Hashem. And it leads to unbelievable unifications and revelations and spiritual lights and salvation. As the Pasuk says in the Navi Yeshaya, then your master, your guide, your mora, your teacher, will no longer hide himself from you. So every bit of Jewish suffering, every bit of Jewish pain is accounted in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it, it counts for something. But let's go one step further and understand the drop more about Avram Avinu calling Hashem the Adon Olam. And what was the Chiddush? And how does he go beyond, again, what Adam HaRishon already did? Ubezeh efshar levar. Lama Hashem alif dalid nun yud. Shekara Avram Avinu ksiv betorah shebichsav. Right? Why is it? The Rebbe asks an interesting question. What did the Rebbe say? What was our opening question? Why are we saying that Avram is the first one to call Hashem Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yod if Adam did it? So the Rebbe says, well, the truth is, in the Torah, Adam didn't call Hashem Adon. That's only in the Medrash. So why did Avraham have this chus of calling Hashem by the name Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod in the Torah, as the Pasuk says, right? And why is it that Adam Arishon, who called Hashem the Adon, that's only revealed to us in the Medrash and not in the Torah Shebichsav? That's the Rebbe's question. Very interesting question. So the Rebbe explains, we're on the second to last paragraph on page Kuf Tzadi Vav in our edition. The Rebbe explains, Ki noda she Yisrael no trikon yesh shishim ribo osios l'Torah. We know that the name Yisrael stands for yesh, there are, shishim, 600, ribo, 10,000, so, sorry, 60, 10,000, so 600,000, osios l'Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and there are yesh, shishim, ribo, anashim, liyisrael. There are 600,000 Jewish souls. Primary Jewish souls. And therefore what? Every Jew corresponds to a letter. We learned about that idea. Lachein Avram Avinu, shekara es Hashem gam mitoch saris yisrael, shemalim chelke atzmusam. Avram Avinu, Who what? Who calls out to Hashem as the Adon, the master of the world, even in a time of Jewish suffering, where a Jew gives his what? His self, his essence to Hashem? Oz atzmusam. So then the essence of a Jew, namely the osios haTorah, noistim bezeh, atshemechelke osios elu nechtav b'shashem b'torah. When a Jew gives of his essence, when he gives of himself, and again, the only way to do that is not when life is good. You can't really bring Hashem a karban that's really deeply meaningful when life is simple and good. It's when I bring an offering to Hashem, when life is tough, that Hashem says, wow, you really gave your essence. The essence of a Jew, the essence of your soul is found where? The essence of your soul is found in the letters of the Torah. So therefore, when Avram Avinu declares Hashem the Adon Olam, the master of the world, at a time of suffering, and that's a real offering of essence, so that manifests itself where? In the letters of the Torah. In the Torah Shebichsav. Masha Ein Kein Adam HaRishon. But Adam HaRishon, who called Hashem what? Who called Hashem the Adon, not in a state of Galus and Saras. So Adam HaRishon is not able to get that written into the Torah itself. It's true. It happened. It's part of our tradition. It's in the Medrash. But if you wanted to pierce the essence of a person, it has to come about in a time of challenge, of suffering. It's only then that a person who says Adon is really making a true declaration of his emunah in Hashem. Says the Rebbe in the next paragraph. Let's go back to the Gemara that we started with. The Gemara that we started with in Menachos. The Gemara where Klal Yisrael say, Hashem, we made you popular in the world. And Hashem said, not like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Says the Gemara on the Pasuk, Amart la Hashem, Hashem ata, tovasi ba'al alecha. Hashem alef dalid nun yud. Hinchil Avram Avinu l'kneses Yisrael, l'kro gam bitoch saras. Avram Avinu was mechadesh that even in a period of tsaras, a Jew could still call Hashem the master of the world. Val zeh amra kneses Yisrael l'kadosh baruch hu. So the Jewish people come to Hashem and they say, Hachzeik li tova, give us a great reward, Hashem, because we made you known in the world. What does it mean, Hachzeik li tova? Hachzeik li tova ki as nafshi libi kochi umochi afes kol yimei chayai ani nosin lo'odiach ba'olam. The Jewish people say, our whole life is dedicated to what? To revealing you to the world. I gave my bodies, I gave my souls, I gave my energy. Pashut shal yedeiza kol ha'olam mispalim aleinu. And the Jewish people are right. The world is so impressed by the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jewish people. You know how much it made the Nazis crazy when Jews went to the gas chambers screaming Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? You know how frustrating that was for them? That even as they killed the Jews were still clinging to their faith? You know how much that tortured the Nazis? That they couldn't get the Jews to break? That the strength, the inner strength and fortitude of the Jewish people. So there's no question that when a Jew says, we made you known in the world, Hashem, it's true. V'gam ken Yisrael el, shal yedei zeh nasa shleimus hayichudim v'hester chole v'ori yisbarach mizgala. It does unbelievable. When a Jew says, Adon Olam, yes, the Jewish people have suffered throughout history. But what does it mean that the Avos get the credit for it? Why do the Avos get the credit for it? If we did it also. If every Jew who died on Kiddush Hashem in the Holocaust also did it. So why does Hashem say to the Jewish soul, you didn't start the journey. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov started this. V'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hein avodas kol Yisraeli yikara l'Hashem. It's true, says Hashem, everything that every Jew has ever done for me is precious to me. U'beprat avodas shel mesiras nefesh. And especially the fact that there are Jews who gave their lives on my behalf. Hashem says, it's unbelievable. Mikol makom, tova ein ani machzik el Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. But I have to give the bulk, the majority of the credit. And this is the Rebbe saying that even when we dial Kiddush Hashem or make sacrifices, don't think that you're such a big shot. Look what I did for God. Because you're not the one who created it. You're not the one who did it when it was an impossibility in the world. Mikol makom, says the Rebbe, the Tova ain machzik el Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Why? Sheheim hodiuni tchila, ki heim hischilu ba'avodas mesiras nefesh. Because Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are the ones who began the process of mesiras nefesh. So what? Let's pause for a second. I mean, we could just sit here and nod along and say, "Oh, okay, that makes sense." But let's challenge a little bit. Does that make sense to us? Seth, does that make sense to you? Shlomo Yehuda, right? Shlomo Yehuda. Does that make sense to you? That what? Because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov chronologically were the first Jews to suffer for God. So therefore, what, the Jews in the Holocaust, Hashem's like, nah, you don't get so much credit. But in the same breath, you're saying, oh, every bit of sacrifice is so, it's so meaningful, it's so purposeful, it's so lofty, it makes Yehuda min Shemayim. What's the Rebbe saying? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov get the bulk of the credit because they started it. They did it first. They were the innovators. You know? So when I get my Shmuel Disco Land t-shirt, Hashem's going to say, nah, come on. Daniel Malinsky introduced that to you. You don't get any credit. You don't get any credit for doing that. You're just copying someone else. Yeah, but if it's a good idea, then it's a good idea. All right, what's going on here? So, Chaver, listen carefully. This paragraph is amazing. The Rebbe says, you know what it means that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the first ones? It's not just a question of who came first. Who was the first one to... I remember there was a certain band I liked in eighth grade, and I bought their CD. And then someone else bought their CD. I was like, oh, you only know about that because of me, right? It was like a sense of like, come on, you didn't discover it, right? I was the one who discovered it. I knew it first, right? That's very petty. That's not what this medrash means. It's not what Chazal are telling us. It's not what the Rebbe is telling us. The Efshar, Shehem hu diunit chila. What does it mean the Avos were the ones who, they revealed me, they discovered me, they taught the world about me first. Lo she'ein shum ish Yisrael, it's not to say that what? It's not to say that you can't be an originator, that you can't be a tchila, right? That's what the Rebbe is introducing us to. Being a tchila. What does it mean to be a tchila? To be a starting point, to be an innovator. What does it mean? You have to do something different in the world? Lav dafka different. We have to do it from such a real place that I'm not doing it because I saw my Rebbe do it. I saw my Chavrusa do it. I heard that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did it. I read a story that the Baal Shem Tov did it. I'm doing it because I really believe from the essence of my being that this is what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the next line. Rakshagam zos palu ha'avos. The avos created the possibility, listen, underline it, sheyuchal ish ha'yisraeli liyos b'chinas tchila ba'avoda. The avos created the possibility that you can be a tchila. You can be a starting point. You can be an originator. What do you mean? I only learned about this from my Rebbe. I learned about it from my Chavrusa. Right? I read about it in a book. I heard about it in a shir. What do you mean I can be an originator? Right? And if I become too much of an originator, then I'm like making my own religion. What does that mean I could be an originator? I could be a tchila. Says the Rebbe, I'll tell you what it means. V'harei zeh kamo b'torah. We know the Medrash tells us that yes, any chiddush that you're going to have, any thought you're going to have, when Yosef Naiman texts me after Shir and says, Rebbe, I have a good gematria based on this piece of Esh Kodesh, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu already knew that gematria. That's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that anything that a good Talmud is going to say in the future, any chiddush you're going to have, Moshe Rabbeinu already knows about. So what sense is it my chiddush? Shagam shenitan l'Moshe. Yes, even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew about it, mikol makom hatalmid b'chadesho. Do you understand why this line in the Medrash is a stira mineu bei? The Medrash says the chiddush that you're going to say in the future was already known. No, so if it's already known, then what, Shai? Then it's not a chiddush. You can't say it's a chiddush in 2021 if Moshe Rabbeinu knew about it back then. Why is the Medrash calling it a chiddush? Says the Rebbe, because it is a chiddush. But Moshe knew about it. It's true Moshe knew about it. But Hashem apparently selected you to bring it to the world. You can be a tchila. You can be a chiddush. You can be an innovator. Shagam shenitein l'Moshe, even though Moshe knew about it. The Talmud is mechadeshu. The Talmud is able to what? To bring it out in his own way. Rakshi ilulei shenitein l'Moshe, lo hayahu yachol l'chadesh. But had it not been given to Moshe originally, you never would have been able to what? To be mechadish. That's a very deep idea. That means it's rooted in something very ancient, but when you express it in your own way, it's also really yours. You know, someone was asking me, there's a woman in our neighborhood who sometimes likes to ask me interesting questions. So she was asking me on Shabbos about Gilgulim. She's like, I have a question for you. I was like, oh, you haven't asked me one of you. I said, like, whenever we get into a conversation, I know it's going to be like a very deep, mysterious thing that I know nothing about, but I'm happy to listen. So she starts asking me this question about Gilgulim and how she was very weirded out by something that she read. So I said, I only know one little thing that I think can give you some comfort. The Chidah says that when you're a Gilgul, when you're a reincarnation of a previous soul, so everyone's like weirded out by that, like, who was I in a previous lifetime? Right? We're all Gilgulim. According to the Tzaddikim, none of us are new neshamas. We're all Gilgulim. We've been here before. So that's kind of weird. Like, I want to be my own person. So the Chidah says, there's a nitzitz neshama, there's a spark of your soul that is entirely new. You may be part, a neshama is a very complex organism. There's many parts to a neshama. So you might be part of this larger collective neshama, but you, as Dani Sawson, as Daniel Moshe, you're your own thing, right? You're your own thing. Somehow you're connected to part of this bigger neshama, this broader soul. That's true. That may be true, right? But there's also a part of that's entirely unique to you. And that's what the Rebbe is saying here. If Moshe Rabbeinu already knew the Chiddush I'm going to say in Shir today, so then why is it a Chiddush? The answer is because you're going to bring it out in your own way. Had Moshe not got the process going, you would never be able to say it. But even after Moshe got the process going, you could still say it in a totally fresh and new way. And listen to how the Rebbe concludes. This is our last couple of lines for today. Kachu bechinas inyane darche avoda. Listen to this. The Rebbe says, there are tzaddikim throughout the generations who were innovators. They changed the way that we understand our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai hayetchila b'derech kadsho. The Halakha Rashbi was an innovator in his way. The Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh, was an innovator in his way. The Baal Shem Tov, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, the Holy Baal Shem Tov, was an innovator in his way. What's ironic is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's way was, the Arizal's way was the Baal Shem Tov's way. And yet, they each did it kind of in their own way. How could that be? Va'akol b'koach ha'avos. It all goes back to the avos, the original innovators of the Jewish people. Shepalu sheyuchal ha'ove lios tchila b'derech avodaso. The avos created the possibility that a Jew can what? That a Jew can be a tchila. That a Jew could be an originator. That a Jew could do something fresh for Hashem. So in truth, when the Gemara says that Bnei Yisrael say, we want the credit for being originators, Hashem says back to them, you don't deserve the credit. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the originators. But the Rebbe's explaining to us, it's just Hashem's way of saying, be humble. Realize that you're part of a great legacy. Realize that, while yes, Adam Arishon called Hashem Adon, Avram called Hashem Adon in a stronger way, in an even bigger way. And sometimes, yes, you might say, but we're the lowest part of the food chain, you know? We're the ikvas of the Mashiach. We're not as great as the earlier generations. You read the Sadoros. What are we going to do to offer ourselves to Hashem? What kind of carbon can we bring to Hashem? What type of chiddush could I say in the world? And this teaching is telling us that no. If you appreciate and understand that you're walking in the footsteps of the Avos, you can be a tchila. You can be an originator. You can do something special for Hashem. And maybe Dafka, living after 2,000 years of Galus, having seen a Beis HaMikdash, never heard the voice of a prophet, having never met the Piazetz the Rebbe, never had the opportunity to look him in the face, right? To just be able to somehow, from our vantage point of, you know, 2021, in a Meshuggah world, to say, Ani Mamim Bemuna Shlema, that I still call Hashem Adon Olam, that's a Chiddush. It's not a Chiddush that's totally detached from what came before, but it's still a Chiddush nonetheless. And that's the Avoda for us. That's what we have to try to do. And that's part of what the Rebbe is saying, kind of in memory of his son. And again, he ends the piece. He goes back to the fact that his son, again, his yahrzeit is on the yahrzeit of Yitzchak Avinu. All right, if Avraham Avinu is the true originator, so what's Yitzchak? Yitzchak redug his father's wells, but he was also an originator. And we have to live with that balance of being deeply, deeply rooted in the Zchus Avos and in the Hanhaga of the Avos, to walk in their footsteps, but also to believe that I can be Mechadish for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Dafka, out of my pain, out of my own struggles and difficulties, I can declare Hashem and crown Hashem the Adon Olam like no one ever did in history. That's what the Rebbe wants us to know. Okay? Rabbi Isai, good Torah? Unbelievable Torah. The The Rebbe was such a tzaddik. He had such an amazing way to look at it. But be a tchila. That's the bumper sticker for today. Be a tchila. Be an originator. Be a humble originator. But be a tchila. A yid has the koach to be a tchila in the world.